Young had his critics, although few lived in Utah. In the East, they charged that Young was favoring his sons and closest associates as subcontractors, that he was getting a tithe from every laborer, supposedly for the Mormon Church. The Cheyenne Daily Leader, on June 15, 1868, charged that the contract between Young and the UP was outright slavery. That was not true. In early June, Young was the principal speaker at a mass meeting in the new tabernacle in Salt Lake City. He said he had always wanted the railroad and that the Mormons would help to build it. Young also said he expected the line to run through the city, for which the Cheyenne Daily Leader jumped on him. The newspaper pointed out that the line north of the city would be 60 or 70 miles shorter, but it admitted that Young would probably have his way because there is more political strength and influence united in him than in any other one person in America. Well, perhaps, sometimes and in some places, but not always, even in Utah. In the end, it was Dodge who got what he wanted. The UP was going to go around the north end of the lake and would run not through Salt Lake City, but rather through Ogden. Young would not quit, not yet. According to Dodge, he even went so far as to deliver in the tabernacle a great sermon denouncing me and stating a road could not be built or run without the aid of the Mormons. Young then approached the CP to accept the southern route, but to no avail, for their surveyors had come to the same conclusion as Dodge. Dodge stood firm. He told Young that the Mormons would have to build their own spur line to Ogden if they wanted rail service in Salt Lake City. Young finally, unwillingly, but as gracefully as he could, accepted the decision. At the beginning of June, the Mormons were at work. The Deseret News exclaimed, "We live in a wonderful age." Admittedly, the railroad would bring in Gentiles, but it would also carry them out. Dodge took one look, and from then on, he couldn't have enough Mormons working for the UP. They were, he said, teetotalers to the last man, tolerated no gambling, were quiet and law-abiding, said grace devoutly at meals, and concluded each day's labor with communal prayers and songs. One of their songs, a favorite of Dodge's, written by James Crane, a Mormon railroad grader, ran, "At the head of Great Echo, the railway's begun. The Mormons are cutting and grading like fun. They say they'll stick to it till it's complete when friends and relations they're longing to meet."